The Later Elmshaven Years, 1905 to 1915, Volume 6, Chapter 5. 1905 closes with Battle Creek issues. The issues at Battle Creek that Ellen White referred to in her little birthday talk on November 26 concerned largely the credibility of the messages of counsel and correction emanating from Elmshaven. Was Ellen White influenced to write as she did? Questions were raised regarding the authorship of some of the letters and manuscripts carrying her signature. Were they written by Ellen White or by others? Dr. J. H. Kellogg was working desperately to hold all medical institutions under the control of the International Medical Missionary and Benevolent Association. Church leaders and Ellen White were calling for conference ownership and control. Dr. Kellogg and Elder A. T. Jones were working earnestly to re-establish Battle Creek as an important educational center. The testimonies consistently counseled against such a move. When Jones in the spring of 1905 left the work in Washington to which he had been called, he returned to Battle Creek to throw himself wholeheartedly into the bold venture of starting a university in connection with the sanitarium. The Review and Herald, December 28, 1905. They had the buildings, the old Battle Creek College plant just across North Washington Street from the sanitarium. The prime need was for students, Seventh-day Adventist students. But many church members were aware of Ellen White's warnings against Seventh-day Adventist youth going to Battle Creek for their education. Only by discrediting her message could students in any number be secured. How better could this be done than by questioning the real authorship and authority of the testimonies emanating from Ellen White's Northern California headquarters? The counsels against elevating Battle Creek and making it an educational center could be traced back to the General Conference session of 1903. In a general letter addressed to the church, written 4 months later on August 13, 1903, Ellen White declared, "My dear brethren, I understand that efforts are being made to establish a college in Battle Creek, after the Lord has plainly stated that there should not be a college there, giving the reasons. He said that the school was to be taken out of Battle Creek. The establishment of a college in Battle Creek is contrary to the Lord's direction. The Lord does not look with favor upon this plan, or upon those who devised it." Letter 207, 1903. Late that year, two E.G. White articles appeared in the Review and Herald, carrying the message to rank-and-file Adventists. The Lord is not pleased with some of the arrangements that have been made in Battle Creek. It is not pleasing to God that our youth in all parts of the country should be called to Battle Creek to work in the sanitarium, and to receive their education, December 10, 1903. A week later another warning appeared, "The light given me by the Lord that our youth should not collect in Battle Creek to receive their education has in no particular changed. The fact that the sanitarium has been rebuilt does not change the light. That which in the past has made Battle Creek a place unsuitable for the education of our youth makes it unsuitable today, so far as influence is concerned. Because the sanitarium is where it ought not to be, shall the word of the Lord regarding the education of our youth be of no account? Shall we allow the most intelligent of our youth in the churches throughout our conferences to be placed where some of them will be robbed of their simplicity through contact with men and women who have not the fear of God in their hearts?" December 17, 1903, see also Testimonies for the Church 8:227, 228. Ellen G. White's communications continued to sound warnings. On May 4, 1904, she wrote, "How can we encourage the plans to gather our youth into Battle Creek, when our Heavenly Father has said that this place is not to be made a great center for educational work?" Letter 151, 1904. On June 23, she wrote, "I was bidden to warn our people on no account to send their children to Battle Creek to receive an education, because delusive scientific theories would be presented in the most seducing forms." Manuscript 64, 1904. These counsels were soon brought together and published in Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 6, Testimonies to the Church regarding our youth going to Battle Creek to obtain an education. The year 1905 marked the rapidly growing rift between the medical interests headed by Dr. John Harvey Kellogg and church leaders and the church organization itself. The steps taken following the General Conference sessions of 1901 and 1903 to bind the medical work to the denomination were seen by Dr. Kellogg as a challenge to the institutions he dominated. The organization of a medical department and the appointment of a medical department secretary confirmed this in his mind. In seeming desperation, he launched an aggressive program to develop Battle Creek Sanitarium into an even stronger base of influence and entered upon an aggressive campaign to unsettle confidence in Ellen White and church leaders. Ellen White announces her positive stand on the last day of the 1905 General Conference session in Washington, D.C., May 30. Ellen White came before the delegates and visitors heavily burdened over the situation in Battle Creek. She read a three-page statement prepared for the occasion, which she followed with extemporaneous remarks. In plain language, she set forth the issues, Our sanitarium should not be linked up with the Medical Missionary Association at Battle Creek. The book Living Temple contains specious, deceptive sentiments regarding the personality of God and of Christ. The Lord opened before me the true meaning of these sentiments, showing me that unless they were steadfastly repudiated, they would deceive the very elect. She denied the claim that her writings upheld the pantheistic teachings of that book, and protested against the manner in which her writings were being misused to support such a claim. She expressed regret that the warning sent to Battle Creek had gone unheeded, and that young people sent there for an education in medical missionary lines were endangered. She urged that they should receive their training from those true and loyal to the faith that was delivered to the people of God, under the ministration of the Spirit of God. Then, mentioning Dr. Kellogg by name, she declared that confidence may be placed in him when he receives the messages of warning given during the past 20 years and bears a testimony that has in it no signs of double meaning or of misconstruction of the light God has given. Then in startling language she closed her 3-page written message with the words, "It has been presented to me that in view of Dr. Kellogg's course of action at the 1904 Berrien Springs meeting, we are not to treat him as a man led of the Lord." Manuscript 70, 1905. In extemporaneous remarks following the reading, she declared, "The only way in which I can stand right before this people is by presenting to our physicians and ministers that which I have written to guard and encourage and warn Dr. Kellogg, showing how God has been speaking to him to keep him from the position which, unless he changes his course, will result in the loss of his soul." Ibid. In this was announced a course that would be followed, but kindly and without attack and ever in the hope that Dr. Kellogg would yet yield to the biddings of the Holy Spirit. It was now clear to leaders of the medical missionary interests in Battle Creek that medical work fostered by the Seventh-day Adventist Church was to be under the control of the Church, for it was a branch of the work of the Church. It was not to be dominated by leaders of medical interests in Battle Creek who had set about to make the medical missionary work undenominational. Kellogg attempts to hold the line. Emissaries of Dr. Kellogg were sent out to hold a line of allegiance to him and the policies for which he stood. One such prominent physician, Dr. C. E. Stewart, was sent to the Pacific Coast. Kellogg, in a letter written to Elder G. I. E. Butler on July 24, refers to this, "Dr. Stewart has just returned from the West where he has had an opportunity to see all of our medical people and to visit all our institutions, and has also met many of the conference people. He visited, among other places, the San Jose campground, met Brother W. C. White, had several talks with him, also had an opportunity to meet Sister White and talk with her. They were very nice to him. Sister White urged him very strongly to take charge of the Loma Linda Sanitarium, DF45B1. Ellen White's report of this visit is somewhat different. She wrote to J. Yeager Burden on July 10, 1905. "On my way from San Jose to St. Helena, I met Dr. Stewart, from the Battle Creek Sanitarium, and had some conversation with him. He is one of Dr. Kellogg's lieutenants, and I hope that you will not be deceived by any flattering statements that may be made. I know that Dr. Kellogg is doing a work that is misleading. I am writing now to put you on guard. Dr. Kellogg is sending men all around to encourage those whom they visit to take sides. Do not give the least credence to their words or plans. We know not what tactics Satan will adopt in his efforts to gain the control. I have confidence that you will hold the fort at Loma Linda. The Lord will work for us." Letter 197, 1905. These Battle Creek-directed emissaries were sent to parts of the world where medical missionary work was promulgated. In a quiet and stealthy way they struck at the foundations of confidence in the Ellen White Councils, AGD to WCW, October 12, 1905. The groundwork for this had been established in the critical attitude toward church leaders and Ellen White's support for moving the headquarters of the church and the Review and Herald publishing plant to Washington, D.C. The issues were intensified as plans now blossomed to make Battle Creek a great educational center, greater and more influential than anything that preceded it. To draw Seventh-day Adventist youth to Battle Creek, most attractive inducements were made in courses and work opportunities offered. But there were the warnings sounded for 2 years that Seventh-day Adventist youth should not go to Battle Creek in pursuit of an education. The work of undercutting the testimonies began with meetings held by Dr. Kellogg and A.A.T. Jones with the sanitarium workers and was advanced by correspondence with Seventh-day Adventist youth throughout the field. Strong sentiments against the spirit of prophecy by mid-1905 church leaders found strong anti-spirit of prophecy sentiments rampant in North America and overseas. It was being reported that the spirit of prophecy could not be safely relied upon to guide us in our affairs, AGD to WCW, October 3, 1905. In almost every case such sentiments could be traced to Battle Creek and particularly to Dr. Kellogg, Ibid. From some of the doctor's letters the concept emanated that testimonies were sent out with Sister White's stamp upon them, which she herself never saw, but that W.C. White and her assistants had made up a testimony and signed her name, and sent it to Dr. Kellogg.
Ibid.
Elder Daniels made reference to this work in a letter to Ellen G. White written on October 11, 1905. There is a steady, secret, stealthy influence at work all through our ranks to create doubt regarding the messages now coming to this people.
We met this in Switzerland, Germany, and England.
And our general conference brethren who attended the camp meetings in this country met it everywhere. It is working like leaven, or a deadly contagion.
In Daniel's opinion, the whole denomination should be informed as to what was going on at Battle Creek.
He pleaded with Ellen White, "Has not the time come to give the people enough of what God has revealed to you to fully inform and arouse them? Has not the time come for the ship to strike the iceberg? The question shall we publish?" As Ellen White on October 22 read the 8-page letter from the president of the General Conference telling of the bewildering reports from Battle Creek that were reaching the field, a heavy burden rolled onto her heart. Her diary for the next 3 days tells the story. October 23, "I have not had a night of sleep but a night of much prayer. The cause of God is in peril as Dr. Kellogg and those who are deceived with him are prompted by the same spirit which led to rebellion in the heavenly courts. October 24, I thank the Lord with heart and soul and voice. I have slept well during the night, notwithstanding I carry a heavy burden for the responsible men of Battle Creek. October 24, this has been a day of distress of soul, represented to me by some things I shall trace upon paper. My heart is wrung with anguish. W.C. White and his mother have had a praying season and it has seemed we were, as represented to me, in a strong current, trying to swim against the tide, manuscript 177, 1905. Then she mentions one of the points of criticism. I learn reports are circulated that W.C. White manipulates his mother's writings. All have known how much W.C. White manipulates his mother's writings, when he has been separated from me very much of the time for the years before this year 1905, and we have, when we could get together, planned much and done so little in issuing books. But I utterly deny the charges, Ibid. The charge of manipulation on the part of W.C. White would be one of the major ones emerging from Battle Creek for months to come.
Kellogg and his cohorts were foremost in advancing it.
A great deal concerning the Battle Creek situation had been written by Ellen White to church leaders and others, but the question with her was, when should it be broadcast generally? She explained the delay. I thought I would take up this matter before, but light came that Dr. Kellogg, united with his associates, was doing a special work.
Their plans were being laid, and I was to allow them to make the first move, for then there would be a necessity to meet it, and I would be saved from much blame. Letter 322, 1905. Italics supplied.
The announcement in the September issue of the Medical Missionary, published in Battle Creek, of plans to launch the university in Battle Creek, was the first move. 2 years before, steps being taken to open Battle Creek College were laid aside because of Ellen White's clear counsel. Now the council itself was laid aside, and articles and catalogs proclaimed the opening of a number of schools, virtually a university, AGD to WCW, October 12, 1905. Announced plans for the university in Battle Creek. There would be many courses of study offered by various schools carried on in connection with the Battle Creek Sanitarium: professional, scientific, literary, biblical, technical.
40 courses offered would lead to diplomas and degrees.
In addition to the above, numerous trades would be taught, such as steam fitting, plumbing, blacksmithing, carpentry, painting, tinsmithing, steam and electrical engineering, shoemaking, and dressmaking.
All these were offered to Seventh-day Adventist youth who had no money. They could meet expenses by working at the sanitarium.
The Medical Missionary, October 1905, AGD to EGW, October 11, 1905. When young people in perplexity made inquiry of Battle Creek, they received letters from J. H. Kellogg, A. T. Jones, or Mrs. Foy. To a medical student who had been advised to get his medical training elsewhere than Battle Creek, A. T. Jones wrote, "It is impossible for me to escape the conviction that the minister who advised you to change your plans in this way advised you wrongly." A. T. Jones to Abner B. Dunn, September 20, 1905, attached to AGD to EGW, October 11, 1905. Dr. J. H. Kellogg wrote to a nurse in training at a smaller SDA sanitarium, urging that it would be greatly to the advantage of nurses to graduate from the Battle Creek Sanitarium. He closed his letter with these words, "As regards Washington, their plans there have mostly collapsed. They were going to have a great sanitarium out at Tacoma Park. Where is it? They were going to have a big sanitarium downtown. Where is it? Dr. Hare has resigned, and I guess they have gotten pretty near the end of their financial rope. It is not at all likely they will be able to anywhere nearly pay their running expenses." J. H. Kellogg letter attached to AGD to EGW, October 11, 1905.
Daniil saw all this as a great dragnet with which to catch our young people. It could cause the loss of hundreds of the very flower of our young people, AGD to EGW, October 11, 1905. At Elmshaven, the staff began collecting material for publication concerning the Battle Creek issues. They expected it might make a book, 29 WCW, page 402. A week before Elder Daniil's October 11th letter came to Ellen White, her son reported, there was a great burden on her mind because of the influences going out from Battle Creek to mislead and confuse our people. She told me that what she has written to our physicians and sanitarium managers in the past must be printed, and she called my attention to a large number of manuscripts which she said contained information which our people ought to have. So your letter was not a surprise to Mother Ibid, 294-295. The Council of Church Leaders was sought as to what should be published and how it should reach the field. First General Conference Medical Missionary Convention on November 16, W.C. White left the West Coast to attend the First General Conference Medical Missionary Convention to be held at College View, Nebraska, November 21 to 26, Ibid, 664, The Review and Herald, November 16, 1905. Careful plans had been laid for this important five-day meeting. I.G. Daniels, writing to W.C. White, had described plans for it and urged. Now the point I want to emphasize is that you shall attend this convention. You must be with us. This will be a very important occasion. A strong influence is being exerted against our movement, and we must do our best to make it succeed. You may think it difficult for you to leave California, but you must be present AGD to WCW, October 13, 1905. The College View meeting was attended by 100 physicians, nurses, and ministers, about evenly divided. Elder Daniels had an opportunity there to present some of the testimonies relating to Battle Creek. Nearly all took a firm and open stand on the testimonies. This encouraged church leaders. Stirred by plans announced for the College View meeting, the medical people in Battle Creek launched countering measures. Dr. Kellogg called a convention of his new International Medical Missionary Alliance in Chicago for December 18 to 21, the Medical Missionary, November 1905. As matters thus rapidly developed, with growing opposition to the spirit of prophecy messages, Ellen White wrote, "He, Dr. Kellogg, will present anything and everything possible to make of no effect the testimonies that the Lord has given me. I must do my part to meet the situation just now." Letter 322, 1905. At the College View meeting, W.C. White studied with H.G. Daniels and others the matter of publishing testimonies that would help in the crisis. Here and in further consideration in Washington, with W.C. White participating, the decision was reached to publish two pamphlets of warning and instruction. Mid-December week of prayer meetings in Battle Creek. The West Michigan Conference invited Elder Daniels to assist in the week of prayer in Battle Creek in mid-December. After taking counsel with Elders Irwin, Prescott, White, and Evans, he felt he should accept the appointment and go. This would give him an opportunity to present the testimonies dealing with the situation. The week of prayer would begin Friday night, December 15. Daniels, W.C. White, and one or two others went over on Tuesday, the 12th. This gave them an opportunity to get the feel of the situation. One of the testimonies Daniels carried with him had been penned by Ellen White on June 28, 1905. It was titled A Solemn Warning. Indeed it was. It opened with the words, "I wish to sound a note of warning to our people nigh and afar off. An effort is being made by those at the head of the medical work in Battle Creek to get control of property over which, in the sight of the heavenly courts, they have no rightful control. I write now to guard ministers and lay members from being misled by those who are making these efforts." Several lines of warning were sounded. Notwithstanding the warnings given, Satan's sophistries are being accepted now just as they were accepted in the heavenly courts. The science by which our first parents were deceived is deceiving men today. Ministers and physicians are being drawn into the snare. I have sent warnings to many physicians and ministers, and now I must warn all our churches to beware of men who are being sent out to do the work of spies in our conferences and churches, a work instigated by the father of falsehood and deception. Let every church member stand true to principle. We have been told what would come, and it has come. I cannot specify all now, but I say to our churches, beware of the representations coming from Battle Creek that would lead you to disregard the warnings given by the Lord about the effort to make that a great educational center. Let not your sons and daughters be gathered there to receive their education. Powerful agencies have been stealthily working there to sow the seeds of evil. I must speak plainly. It is presented to me that the condition of things is just what we were warned that it would be, unless the messages of heaven were received by the leaders of the medical work in Battle Creek. But notwithstanding the warnings given, some to whom they have been sent stand up in self-confidence, as if they knew all that it was needful for them to know. Very adroitly some have been working to make of no effect the testimonies of warning and reproof that have stood the test for half a century. At the same time, they deny doing any such thing. Again, I say to all, keep your families away from Battle Creek. Those who have so often opposed the efforts to remove from Battle Creek will some of them be seduced from the truth. Manuscript 100, 1905. On Friday night, December 15th, just as the week of prayer opened, the church board met in the early evening. Dr. Kellogg was present. Daniels presented some of the testimonies and finished just in time for the evening meeting in the tabernacle. Early Sabbath morning he met again with the church board, and at the 11 o'clock worship service he presented the prepared week of prayer reading. At 2:30 there was another meeting at the tabernacle with Dr. Kellogg present. Daniels read to the packed house a number of the testimonies. Many of the board members expressed their acceptance of the testimonies, A.G.D. to Dear Friends, December 17, 1905. While Elder Daniels and W.C. White were in Battle Creek, Ellen White and her assistants continued to collect and copy material. That weekend she wrote to Elders Daniels and Prescott, "I have lost all hope of Dr. Kellogg. He is, I fully believe, past the day of his reprieve. I have not written him a line for about 1 year. I am instructed not to write to him. I have been reading over the matter given me for him, and the light is that we must call our people to a decision. We are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves." Letter 333, 1905. Her burden of heart intensified as the week progressed. To W.C. White she wrote, "I have many things I wish you and Elder Daniels and those united with him in his labor in Battle Creek to have just as soon as possible. I have very decided testimony that I am sending in to Battle Creek to Elder Daniels. I fear he will leave before he gets this, so I will send a telegraph message to him to tarry till he receives this that I send." Letter 336, 1905. The message was sent on Thursday, December 21st, and Elder Daniels tarried in Battle Creek as the week of prayer meetings continued. Dr. Kellogg and many of the medical personnel were in Chicago attending the meeting he had called of the International Medical Missionary Alliance to convene Monday through Thursday, December 18th to 21st. Daniels let it be known that he had changed his plans and was staying by to await the message promised in Ellen White's telegram. Arrival of the promised testimonies on Tuesday, December 26, Daniels went to his office early, probably his old office in the West Building, to see whether the communications from Ellen White had come. They had not. A few minutes later one of the physicians from the Battle Creek Sanitarium came to see him. The physician was in great perplexity of mind. He had been brought up to look upon all messages given by Ellen White as emanating from the Lord. But now he was bewildered and confused. The night before, he, with many other leading sanitarium workers, had attended a meeting lasting from 5 o'clock to 11 in which Dr. Kellogg had outlined the recent controversy as he saw it. Kellogg told this group of responsible sanitarium workers that he believed in the spirit of prophecy and believed Ellen White is a good woman and that she had been inspired of the Lord. But he continued, "All of the communications which were sent out could not be relied upon as coming from the Lord." A.G.D. to G.A. Irwin, December 27, 1905. "Now," said the doctor, addressing Elder Daniels, "I want, if possible, that you shall make it plain to me what messages we are to understand are from the Lord, and which ones emanate from men who are influencing Sister White." Elder Daniels told him that he could not give him any light on the point, that to him they were all genuine, that they were all either from the Lord or from the devil. While the men talked there was a knock on the door, and a messenger handed Elder Daniels a large envelope with Elmshaven, Sanitarium, California, as the return address. "We will let Daniels tell the story as he did the next day. Now," said I, "Doctor, we will open this envelope, and you shall be the first one to look upon these testimonies. Take them, look them over, and tell me whether they are genuine or spurious, whether they were given to her by the Lord, or by some man." He took them and looked at the titles, the dates, and the signatures, and handing them over, he said to me, "Well, I cannot tell you whether these are from the Lord or from man, whether they are reliable or unreliable. It looks to me," said he, "that it is a question of faith on my part as to whether Sister White is a servant of God or a wicked pretender." "Well," said I, "you are just as able to tell me who inspired these communications as I am to tell you. You have seen them first, you know just as much about them as I do. I cannot give you the slightest information that you do not possess." "Now," said I, "the only ground for me to occupy is absolute confidence that God is revealing to his servant that which the church needs to understand, and that every single communication which she sends out emanates from God and not from man." "Ibid." The physician said that he saw the whole point and that he must stand fully on this ground. A marked confidence-confirming experience, Daniels could hardly wait to read the testimonies for which he had been waiting. With a fellow minister he read the communications. They noted that while each of the two documents had been copied on Thursday, December 21, 1905, one was penned in August, 1903, and the other June 1, 1904. Arrangements were made immediately for a meeting in the tabernacle that evening at 7:30, at which the testimonies would be read to the whole church. At 7:30, the tabernacle was full auditorium, vestries, and gallery. Dr. Kellogg was not there. His brother, W. K., and a number of the doctor's supporters were there. Elder Daniels took the lead, telling the congregation of how in times of old, God communicated with his people. Sometimes the prophet delivered in person the message God gave him, sometimes it was delivered through others. He pointed out that, from the earliest days of this cause, the spirit of prophecy had been in our midst, and had been recognized by those who were loyal to this message, and that the messenger had always claimed liberty to deliver the message either in person or by sending it to others to be read. Ibid. He read the telegram instructing him to wait in Battle Creek for the testimonies. Now he had the two documents in his hands, Manuscript 120, 1905, the result of a failure to heed God's warnings, and Manuscript 122, 1905, a solemn appeal. He pointed out that both were penned by Ellen White in her journal, one as much as 2 years before, but were not copied until she was impressed to do so, Thursday, December 21st. Both documents carried solemn messages pointing out that leaders who were spiritually blind were leading the blind, and unless converted and transformed, leaders and their followers cannot be laborers together with God. Manuscript 120, 1905. They persist in trying to make it appear as if they have made no mistakes, and have not been led by seducing spirits, when I know that they have, for thus saith the one who is truth. Ibid. Speaking of the one who has long stood in the position of physician-in-chief, she declared that no dependence can be placed in a man whose words and actions reveal that he is spiritually blind. What can be said regarding a man who, in his life practice, disregards a plain, thus saith the Lord? He has a bewildered mind, an uncertain experience. Ibid. She referred to the experiences of Adam and Eve, who allowed themselves to be allured by the seductive influence of Satan's voice and were beguiled. Thus it has been in the case of the one who has long stood at the head of our medical work. He often declares that he has always believed the messages God has given through Sister White, and yet he has done very much to undermine confidence in the validity of the testimonies. Oh, how many he has influenced to view things as he has viewed them! How often he has led others to think, somebody has told Sister White, Ibid. Both of the testimonies were read without comment. As Elder Daniels read on, page after page, a number in the large tabernacle audience could not help but note how accurately they described the words and attitudes witnessed just the night before as Dr. Kellogg addressed sanitarium leaders. It was 9 o'clock when Daniels finished reading the 16 pages of the two documents. It seemed to me as I read, he wrote the next day, that I never felt the burning power of words reaching my own soul as these. A.G.D. to G.A. Irwin, December 27, 1905. We ought to resort to earnest prayer, he told the hushed audience, and suggested that those who wished to do so retire to the north vestry. But too many wished to pray, and so the audience turned back to the main auditorium. During the break, three men who had been in Dr. Kellogg's six-hour meeting came to Daniels and told him that the meeting held the previous night had been clearly described in the messages Ellen White felt impelled to have copied and sent. They also said that if there had been a doubt in their minds regarding the source of the testimonies, it would have been swept away by their own statements, as set forth by Ellen G. White in the testimonies. Ibid. From 9:15 to 10, all united in prayer that their eyes might be open to see things as God sees them. They prayed that Dr. Kellogg and his associates and all the sanitarium helpers might be led to receive and obey the solemn messages that had come to them. The next few days in Old Battle Creek, there was a lot of talk of how the Spirit of the Lord on the previous Thursday led Ellen White in California to have the message she wrote 2 years before copied and sent to Battle Creek to arrive just after the notable meeting was held by Dr. Kellogg in the college building. Some described the Monday night meeting as such that if they had not been well grounded, they would have been turned away entirely from the testimonies. One said that he would be driven into infidelity if he believed the things the doctor related to them. Ibid. Daniels restates his faith and loyalty. Elder Daniels felt impelled to express his feelings. Men may say what they like, he declared as he recounted the experience. I believe we have a living God, the author of such coincidences as these. I believe that the fear and restraint that has been upon many has been broken, and that now they will stand calmly and fearlessly without wavering in defense of the truth of God. I know, Daniels firmly averred, that God is rewarding us for our pledge of unswerving loyalty to the spirit of prophecy as well as all the rest of this message. Victory has been given to this cause. Ibid. And indeed it was a victory. Of Dr. Kellogg's influence and his activities, Ellen White wrote, The men who sustain Dr. Kellogg are in a half-mesmerized condition and do not understand the condition of the man. They honestly believe that he is to be trusted. But the spirit of satanic deception is upon him, and he will work any deception possible. He has been presented to me as exulting that he could hoodwink our people and get possession of all the property in Battle Creek, letter 333, 1905. And then in a forecast that was to come all too true in the next few months, we must call our people to a decision. God calls for every jot and tittle of influence to be placed on the side of truth and righteousness. We are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. I have put in print most decided testimonies. A volume of lies will be circulated to counteract the very work God would have me do. But guard the outposts. Let every precaution be taken. Let us watch and pray. Ask, and ye shall receive. We must have increased faith. We must watch unto prayer. I know that our God is a strong defense, and that he will lift up for us a standard against the enemy. My brethren, you and I must not lose our faith in God. Every man is being tested and tried. We must now look for battles, but we must not be disheartened, afraid, or ashamed, ibid. Dr. Kellogg unmoved. As for Dr. Kellogg, no change was observed in his attitude. 2 days after the memorable Tuesday night meeting, he called the sanitarium family together and for 3 hours reviewed the history of the institution, endeavoring to prove that it was never a Seventh-day Adventist establishment but rather the property of the stockholders. The Review and Herald, December 28, 1905, carried a six-column editorial by W. W. Prescott titled The Battle Creek University. In it, the editor bared his own soul as he stated, "We know from personal experience something about the bitterness of the experience which results from listening to constant insinuations about the fundamental truths of this message borne to the world by Seventh-day Adventists. We know what it means to struggle with the doubts and fears aroused by skillful misrepresentations of warnings and counsels given through the spirit of prophecy. We have learned our lessons through an experience from which we would gladly protect others, and therefore feel justified in speaking plainly when we see the snare set so seductively." E.G., White publishes two pamphlets. In early 1906, two pamphlets of the Special Testimonies, Series B, were published. Number 6, Testimonies to the Church Regarding Our Youth Going to Battle Creek to Obtain an Education, 64 pages. And number 7, Testimonies for the Church Containing Messages of Warning and Instruction to Seventh-day Adventists Regarding Dangers Connected with the Medical Missionary Work, 64 pages. Each carried on the front cover the words, published for the author. She took full responsibility for their issuance. Battle Creek did not become the educational center some had anticipated, nor did it call in large numbers of Seventh-day Adventist youth. Union Conference colleges were strengthened to meet the needs of the cause, and soon the College of Medical Evangelists was established by the church at Loma Linda.